Today's reading is from John chapter 9, verses 1 to 12. As he went along, he saw a man born blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said.
Thank you, Sam, and a very good morning to you as well. Great to have you here worshipping the living Lord Jesus. Broad and I set up the chairs this morning, and the only reason why I say that is that as we were setting the chairs up, I just felt an incredible peace. You know, God, he loves it when we gather and we lift up his son's name. He loves faith and his presence comes. All I want to do in this moment is I just want to pray that we would know the peace of God. Right now, just in, I guess, deep within your own mind and soul, what's troubling you? What have you brought here today that is weighing you down? What's your greatest fear? What are you really struggling with in these moments? Let's just let the peace of God reign in our hearts so that we can hear clearly from his word this morning. So let's pray. Why don't you spend a few moments as well just maybe praying and putting your deepest concern into the hands of God, just being able to push that aside. I know it takes courage, so that the word of God can speak into our lives afresh today. Let's do that. Let's pray together. Jesus, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this set apart moment of worship where we can gather as your children. Jesus, we've lifted your name high because we believe that we're not slaves of fear. We are your children. We believe that you are the Lamb of God roaring from heaven. We believe that we're not orphaned, but that you are here with us by your Spirit. Lord, I thank you for the peace that's in your house right now. Holy Spirit, would you come upon us? Would your peace, would it reign in our soul? You are our refuge. You are our hiding place in the struggle of life, in the wrestle of our own flesh. Lord, you know we struggle with our sin. God, come. May you bless us with peace. Why don't you take a moment with the Lord right now? Whatever is your greatest concern, maybe you need to repent of a sin. Maybe it's just a worry that you're carrying around with you. Whatever is most pressing on your mind, put it in God's hands. Oh, we thank you for your presence, Jesus. Come. May peace reign in our soul right now. Whisper into our mind. Give us eyes of faith to see, ears to hear from your word. Would you lift us up, build us up? Would you hold us in your hands? But above all, would we know peace right now in our soul? Come, Lord Jesus, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I am back from some annual leave. We went to the Gold Coast and I had a significant birthday. You can work that out yourself. It was an O birthday, and it was a good time. We went to the Gold Coast, and I had my brother-in-law come and their tribe, and there was 10 of us, and we hit the theme parks. I mean, that was awesome. Off-peak time, no lines, wasn't so hot. We had a ball on roller coasters and all sorts of great times as a family. What was really cool, though, is seeing it through the eyes of a child, especially my kindergarten child, Micah, who is 6. And we got to that point in Movie World where we went on the Justice League. And if you've been on that ride, it's just like a little cart that goes around all the different superheroes, and you've got a gun with a laser, and you basically shoot things. Now, through our mind, you know, I've just been on Superman Escape, and that goes from 0 to 100 Ks in 2 seconds, right? So that just blew my mind, like 4.5 Gs. I'm still recovering from that. And so holding a little gun with a laser going like that, for an adult, it's not that good, right? But we get off the ride, and you should have seen Micah. It was like, he just blew his mind, his little kindergarten mind. He just couldn't believe that that just happened, and he sprinted away from the ride to line up again, and I could barely catch up to him. I'm like, Micah, come back. And he's like skipping and hopping and jumping and leaping, and maybe he was praising God on the inside, I don't know, but he was seriously trying to line up again. I get there, we go around again, and we go around again, and seriously went around 5 times, and I'm like, Micah, I said, do you think that's enough? And he looked at me, he's so beautiful. Why do they have to grow up? He looked at me and he goes with his hands, don't know where he gets it from, and he goes, Daddy, when I get back to school, I just have so many words. I said, don't you mean stories? He goes, no, Dad, I've got so many words. I was like, okay, buddy. You know, it's interesting, you look at that little child and you think, wow, why does the innocence of being a child have to be stripped off by the struggle and the harsh reality that we live in a world full of pain and suffering? Why does that little child have to grow up to have his little world shattered by the struggle of life? And you know, his many words, it seems that as we get older, it's like our many words turn into so many questions. Wouldn't you agree? It's almost like we can say, Father, I have so many questions. I think one of the biggest stumbling blocks and roadblocks to faith in God today is the pain and the suffering that goes on in our own lives, in our neighborhood, and all around the world. Why do we have to go through so much pain and suffering? Why does evil still exist? What about all the pain and suffering? God, what are you going to do about that all throughout history? Our so many words seem to turn into, God, I have so many questions and they're not answered. I have so many prayers and they're unanswered too. Jesus reflected on this very struggle that he knew that we would have. It's not an answer, but Jesus said in Matthew 5:48 in the Sermon on the Mount, he says that God causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So what Jesus is saying is that in this world, good people are going to go through some pretty bad things. And those that do pretty horrible evil may actually get away with it in this life, not the next. Perhaps there is no greater roadblock to God than dealing with pain and suffering. When I got back from annual leave and I'm catching up on the hundreds of emails, people tell me I should do it on holidays. I just can't do emails on holidays. I'm on holidays. So anyway, you come back and there's a whole truckload of emails. Well, it wasn't too long that I came across an email that actually broke my heart, and I was just in the office sobbing. I really was sobbing. Let me backtrack why.
John McCallum, who's the International Director of Asia's Hope, sent an email about this man, Simon Forsyth. Way back in 2012, myself, Jono, and Dan Walls, Sam Walker, and Nato Bennett, we went to Asia's Hope to speak at the youth conference. And it was a really good time of bonding. We had a great time together, the five of us. But we met this guy, Simon Forsyth. He's an Aussie guy who moved to Ohio, Columbus, and basically started a church plant and a small congregation. And he was there to open up BB8, which is Battambang 8th home. We've got the 10th home, and this was BB8. At that point, the land where our home is was just knee-high grass. Well, Simon got up to share his open address, and all five of us were really moved by this humble man of God who has really big faith. A small church, they raised a lot of money, over $100,000 to build this home, 25 kids that were once orphaned, has a family again. Simon gets up to speak. And at that point, the Asia's Hope Church was like just this tin shed. It was this tin roof. It had no sides. Every day it threatened to rain. But on this particular day, at this moment that Simon spoke, the heavens opened. And the rain on the roof was roaring. And Simon had to yell. We could hardly hear what he was saying. But that day, the rain felt spiritual. It felt like it was a spiritual sign from God that the water, God's water of life, comes to those that have a mustard seed of faith to believe. And Simon did have a mustard seed of faith to believe. He's got three kids. He was on a sabbatical a couple of weeks ago. He was riding a push bike in Spain, and he was killed. You know, there's a church today in the States that doesn't have their pastor. I mean, he was a very memorable guy. Dan Walls got on the phone and texted me, "Did you hear about Simon?" We only met him for 5 minutes. There was something about this man who was a humble man of God that had a big faith and loved Jesus. And, you know, the biggest question that I have today is why? He's got three kids. His body got back to the States yesterday. His wife would have been, you know, she normally would have been excited to see a husband come home. Mel is her name. You think, why, God? Why would you take one of the very good servants that's doing a great job for you in the kingdom? Why would you do that, God? And I think many of us today would have similar questions. Oh, Lord, why would you allow this? How could you allow this pain and this suffering in my life? Somebody that I love that's going through suffering and never got any kind of cure, no prayers were answered. Why, God? Why does this exist? And I wonder, is that a big question for you today? It's a big question for me. Seriously, I'm struggling today with this question. When physical illness, pain, suffering comes, we want to know, how do we fix it? What do we have to do? And that's why I'm so glad that we've got John chapter 9 for us this morning. Because in John chapter 9, we come across a man who has a chronic problem. He's born blind. And what we're going to do is we're going to examine how Jesus ministers to this man. And it's in complete contrast to the disciples. We're looking at sight today. But what we're really looking for is, why do we suffer? That's what this passage raises for us. Why do we suffer? Let's have a look at verses 1 to 5 again, as Sam read for us. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus said, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one will work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Light in contrast to darkness is a strong contrast indeed. So let's set the scene. Jesus is in the temple. We would argue the most holy place at that point in all of the world. This is where the presence of God was and where the people of God came to worship Yahweh, to lift him up high, and that was where Jesus was at the time. They saw a man who was born blind. Now let's think about life for this guy. This man has never seen a sunrise or sunset. This man has never seen the face of his own mother. He probably didn't get an education. He obviously isn't working, possibly not married and doesn't have children. This man is a beggar. He is destitute. He is at the mercy of others for provision. He is lonely. He is an outcast. He is rejected, begging for survival. I think this man's life, crudely, it sucks. His life is harsh. He is suffering immensely. And so Jesus' disciples, they walk past and they ask Jesus a question. Well, they basically give Jesus two options. This is what they say. Rabbi or teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? How many of you like these options that the disciples, put your hands up if you like these options. I think these are terrible options. Jesus, was he a bad guy or was his parents bad parents? They are terrible options. And Jesus wants to redirect the origin of suffering and where it actually stems from. The disciples have got it really bad. In fact, the disciples are only really working out of rabbinical worldview. And as they were growing up in Jewish Torah or law, they did hold to this idea of divine retribution for sin. So they were really operating out of the way they understood the world to work. But Jesus wants to redirect the origin of suffering. The disciples, they come along and they see this man and they make this man an object of discussion rather than an opportunity for compassion. You see that? They come along, they see this man, they use him as just an object of discussion. But they should have used him as an opportunity for compassion. And that's exactly what Jesus is about to do. He's about to redirect their understanding of the nature and origin of suffering. The disciples, they're misguided, they have it wrong. And then Jesus says this, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. I think just for a few moments it would be good just to maybe just recheck or check our idea of the origin of suffering just for a few moments. Let's just have a contrast. Let's have a look of karma or kingdom. Because it would seem to me as we navigate through our day-to-day world, listen to the radio, read a story, engage with work friends, there's this whole idea, without being Buddhist or Hindu, there is this idea, this undercurrent in secular Australia that karma is a universal principle that governs suffering, and it's really wrong. The idea of karma is that good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people. If you've done something bad in this life or the next, then you're going to suffer. So from an Eastern mysticism perspective, karma is seen as balance. Balancing out basically what you have done wrong in this life or the next. So when suffering happens, there will be little empathy or compassion shown your way because it's not overly suffering. It's karma. It's catching up on you. You need to break that birth, death, rebirth cycle in order to reach nirvana, which is a state of nothingness. I think it's a hollow philosophy. But sometimes I wonder, can we also, like the disciples, while the disciples were more in divine retribution, can for us today, can we be a bit misguided in the origin of suffering? Do we possibly look at somebody that's going through a bad time, a hard time, a time of great suffering and think, I wonder what they've done wrong to deserve that. I wonder what they've done wrong for this to happen in their life. Can we too fall into a trap like the disciples did and make somebody's suffering an object of discussion rather an opportunity for compassion? We as followers of Jesus do not hold to karma at all. Rather, we hold to the kingdom of God, and it's in complete contrast to any other religion or philosophy out there. Jesus actually says to his disciples, the issue is not sin, the issue is suffering. So what would be some kingdom ideas? And I'll just be very brief, because this could be a whole sermon in itself. What are some kingdom ideas of the origin of suffering? Well, suffering certainly comes through lifestyle choices. There are lifestyle choices that do bring about pain and suffering. So if somebody is a heavy smoker and they get lung cancer, we know that those life choices actually brought about the suffering in their life. Cirrhosis of the liver may come from somebody who's a heavy drinker. On Friday, trying to get to work, Ingadine was turned into to look like a scene out of a police movie. I don't know if you caught in the newspaper, but an 81-year-old took a gun to his family. That was two streets away from where we live. It was disturbing, actually. It was very disturbing what happened there. But that is a lifestyle choice that now a family and two teenagers that had to see that are living with some pretty graphic images that they've seen. Lifestyle choices. You know, this man chose to bring a gun over and cause that much pain. We also believe that in this world, the kingdom of God tells us that we're living in a broken, fallen world where the world is not normal. When God created this world, we had this beautiful intimacy with God, each other, and the planet. But humanity chose Adam and Eve to rebel against God, and suffering and pain entered into the world. Now this world is not as it ought to be. And there is pain and suffering, not always caused by sin, but because we live in a world that is broken, that is full of pain and suffering. The world is not as it ought to be. But you know, in the center of Christianity is a God who suffered, and that's Jesus. He suffered. He suffered, and we're about to see that he overcomes suffering. But on the cross, Jesus shatters the principle of karma. Because karma says that you get what you deserve, but on the cross we get what is undeserved, and that is God's grace. Amen. Jesus shatters the principle of karma on the cross, and when the Father raised Jesus back to life, he has the power to forgive us, but he has the power for us to be overcomers in the pain and the suffering when we turn and follow Jesus. There is great hope in Christianity, and this is why Jesus is better and different to any other philosophy or religion out there. And sometimes suffering actually comes because of demonic attack. We don't often comment on this, but let me make a comment. Sometimes we suffer not because we're ungodly, but because we're godly. Look at Job out of the Bible, a godly man. There was an encounter with God and Satan in the heavenly realms we don't know too much about. But what happened for Jonah as a godly good man is he lost everything. Everything. Even horrible sores on his body. He lost all his businesses, all his living. He was in a place of suffering, not because of sin, but because of spiritual attack. And sometimes the best, most godly people can suffer not because of ungodliness, but because of spiritual attack. But here in John chapter 9, with this man born blind, the issue here is not sin. The issue here is suffering. This is symptomatic of living in a broken, fallen world, and that's why Jesus wanted to re-correct their thinking about the origin of suffering. Because sometimes when we're going through a hard time, well-meaning religious people can come up to us and be very quick to point out your sin as a point of suffering. Sometimes we can say very unhelpful things. Sometimes it's not because of the sin in our life that we're suffering. As Jesus points out to this man born blind, it wasn't that he sinned, it wasn't that his parents sinned. This actually happened because we're about to see that Jesus does an incredible miracle. But it's just suffering, living in a broken, fallen world. And this is where Jesus is better and different from any other religion or philosophy. And let me unpack that, because, you know, so often in our life, we ask God, why? Do that. Keep asking God why. Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Ask God why. But why is it that we stop at why? I want to encourage us this morning that in our pain, in our suffering, to take it a step further like Jesus did and ask how. Have you ever asked how? Not just why, God, but how? Let me explain. The disciples asked the why question. Why is this man suffering? Was it his sin or his parents' sin? Jesus redirected their idea of the origin of suffering by asking the question, how? But this happened, Jesus said, so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. It's important, and whatever you're going through right now, and you don't know what's around the corner. Like, seriously, I know I don't want to just prey on fear, but you could have an accident this week and be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. We don't know what's around the corner. Life is unpredictable, and we should ask God, why? But have you ever thought about asking God, how? How can I give you glory? How can I follow you? How can I help others? How can I serve you in a season of suffering? Because it's when we get there that God can do a great work in our pain and through our suffering. Can anything ever good come out of suffering? Let me ask you. Can anything good ever come out of the pain and the suffering that we go through? Hard to see it when you're in the moment or you're in the season. But I want to give two reflections. Suffering can equip us. It really can. I want you to meet this courageous servant of Jesus, Mary Vergess, who served with Dr. Paul Brand in a leprosy hospital in the 1960s. Loves Jesus, followed Jesus. As a young doctor, she heard the call of Dr. Paul Brand, who basically said, we need doctors because in this leprosy hospital, they had a tsunami-sized wave of human misery and pain hit their hospital every day with very limited resources. Dr. Paul Brand put the word out and Mary responded and said, yes, I will go. So she did. And she started her work as a young doctor there in the hospital. She took a fancy to a young doctor and he took a fancy to her. And so this young man took Mary out on a date. And he was driving the car. And if you've driven in the developing world, you know that sometimes their road rules are a bit different to ours. So he was behind a truck and he jerked out from behind a truck. He floored it, miscalculated the oncoming car, smashed head on, and the car went off the road down an embankment. And there Mary laid with a deep gash down her cheek and her legs were basically motionless. For the next months, what Mary went through would have been just unimaginable. It was India's summer. It would have been hitting 50 degrees. She laid in traction in a plastic brace, unable to move. And Dr. Brand noticed that Mary was spiraling downhill fast, and she was in a real place of depression, as I would too. I mean, that's a hard place to be. And so he had an honest conversation with her about her future as a doctor, but she encouraged her to keep serving in the hospital. So there Mary, eventually bound to a wheelchair, started visiting the patients. And what nurses noticed is that patients were dramatically more hopeful and upbeat after they had a visit from Mary. Nurses would overhear whispers of the leprosy patients talking to each other about this wheelchair doctor that was more disabled than they were. And this doctor that was just as disfigured as they were. Mary had an incredible ministry of touching lives in that hospital like no other doctor could. In fact, Mary actually saw that the pain and the suffering that she was going through was not sent by God, but incredible good came out of it as God used her in the most unique way. Mary saw that her pain and suffering could be transformed into her greatest asset as a doctor. In her wheelchair with a crooked smile, there she had incredible rapport with the patients. Mary turned to God when she was in her most darkest, anxious-filled time of her life, and she chose to trust and still believe that God is all-powerful and all-good and would have a new design for her life. Philip Yancey, in his book, says, Where is God when it hurts, says this. Where is God when it hurts? He is in us, not in the things that hurt, helping to transform bad to good. We can safely say that God can bring good out of evil. We cannot say that God brings about the evil in the hopes of producing good. That's important. God doesn't send that pain to put us in misery, but he can bring incredible good out of the pain and the suffering that we're going through. What is it that you're facing today? What is it that you're going through? What is the so many questions that you have for God? Be assured of this, that suffering can actually equip us in the most profound way to minister to others. I don't say this lightly, but if you have lost a child, And as a dad, that I love my three boys. I can't imagine what that would be like. But if you have lost a child, you are in a unique position to comfort and care for somebody else that has lost a child. If you are going through an ongoing chronic illness, that puts you in a unique position to also reach out to another that has an ongoing chronic illness. If you have been in the dark valley of cancer, or you have actually walked with somebody in that dark valley, someone near to you, then you're in a unique position to sit with somebody in that dark valley. If your spouse has abandoned you and you tried and tried to restore that marriage, then I want to say that you're in a unique position to encourage and comfort and give hope and healing to a person in a similar place of grief. If your child has walked away from the Lord, you too are able to comfort and instruct and encourage someone who feels powerless in their worry. Suffering can and does equip us because God can bring incredible good out of the pain and suffering. And for this man who was born blind, incredible good is about to come out of it. But the second reflection, and very briefly I have, there's so much more that could be said, is that suffering actually strengthens us. We live in a pain avoidance culture, and who does want to go through pain? You have a headache, take a Panadol, it's good. But we do live in a pain avoidance culture, but we need to understand that the pain and the suffering we go through can strengthen us in our faith. James says this, "Consider it pure joy," and many of us struggle to do this. Oh, I certainly do, my brothers and sisters. "Whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." When our faith is tested, when you are struggling, you know, it could actually be you've got a group of mates that are actually luring you away from Jesus. That is a testing time. But if you persevere with Jesus and say yes to Jesus and no to worldly pleasure, they are the moments where your faith will be strengthened. But how do we do that? Well, we ask the question, how? We don't just ask God, why are we going through this? Have you ever thought about asking the question, how? If you're in a season of suffering, can I encourage you this morning to ask God how questions? Because if we wrestle with the how question, your faith will strengthen and God will use the struggle in your life to be a powerful tool of ministry to others. Do you follow? The how question. Here are some how questions. How can I learn more about Jesus through this season of suffering? Not just why, but how. How can I become more like Jesus as I identify with his suffering? This is a really important one. How can I worship God when it hurts so much? You know, well done for being here today at church, especially if you are going through something so hard that it would be easier for you just to stay at home because you really don't want somebody asking you, how are you going, You know, so often when things get really difficult, church and service is the first to get dropped. It shouldn't be. We actually do need each other, but to be here and to worship God when life is really difficult, can I say well done? Because it's that perseverance that will bring incredible strength. Don't stop worshiping God together as the body of Christ because you're in a season of suffering, but ask the question, how? How can I worship you, God, when it hurts so much? How can I comfort and minister to others as Jesus ministers and comforts to me? I encourage you, I implore you, I urge you, in a season of suffering, ask the how question. Don't stop at the why, because our suffering can bring great strength and God can bring incredible good, even though it's hard in the moment to see any of that as being possible. I'm sure Mary, when she laid in that hospital bed, bound to a wheelchair, how would she ever see anything good could come out of it? But look what happened. God redeemed what was so horribly wrong and used it for incredible good. And God can do that in your life and my life too. You see, as the story moves on, Jesus re-corrects his disciples about the origin of suffering. We actually see this very important truth worth much celebration today, and that is this: Jesus rules over suffering. That is why he came. Because Jesus rules over suffering. Check this out, verse 6. Having said this, Jesus, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. That's a pretty kind of gruesome moment, isn't it? That Jesus would like spit on the ground. Have you ever thought, I was thinking this week, how much spit would it take to make mud? That's a lot of spit, isn't it? My mouth's pretty dry right now. I could do with a drink, but no demonstration. But that's a lot of spit, if you ask me. Like, that's a lot, like, maybe he had a cold. I don't know. That's a lot of spit. But that's pretty gross. Like, that's a very creative way to bring a healing, isn't it? Like, he spat on the ground. I mean, that's amazing what Jesus did, because what he's doing is something really profound. He's setting this man up to make a choice. He rubbed this mud in his eyes. Now, let me ask you, we know he goes to the pool, but let me ask you first, how many times in the Old Testament or the New Testament, how many times in the Bible has somebody that was born blind been healed? Anybody tell me? How many times in the Bible has this happened? Zero. Isn't that astounding? This is the first time that it's ever happened in the Bible, when somebody's been born blind and healed. When Jesus heals this man, it is so unique. It is supernaturally powerful. It is completely unexpected. It seems to be the favorite miracle that Jesus has. If you go have a look at all the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this is by and far the most favorite miracle that Jesus has, restoring sight. Why? Because Jesus is here to overcome the suffering, and that is great hope for us indeed. So I want to ask you another question, many questions today. Was this man healed before or after his obedience? After. Jesus told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. His sight was restored after his obedience. There's something really important for us in this. The miracle came after his obedience. Going to that pool was an act of faith. Can you imagine that? So he's been begging. He's never seen the sunrise, sunset, never seen the mother of his face. He's been begging. He's at the mercy of others. His life is really hard. The origin of suffering is just suffering. And he's blind. He's now got spit mud on his eyes. And he's walking, I'm sure by a guide. Who knows? The story doesn't tell us. But he's going to this pool. Why? Why did he go to the pool? Why did he believe that Jesus could heal him? Because he had a mustard seed of faith. And this is so important for us this morning. This is a really important teaching moment. Faith comes before sight. I encourage you, write that down, tattoo that in your mind. Faith comes before sight. And some of us here this morning, you know, we have faith, but we don't overly have sight yet. You have unanswered prayers. You have people in your life that have suffered and there was no help for them. And some of us today feel like that we've got faith in Jesus, but we're still walking blind. Well, I want to challenge and encourage and implore you today, keep walking with Jesus and with us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Keep asking the how, God, when you can't see the answers. Keep asking, how, God, can I learn from this suffering? How can you use me in my suffering when you feel so blinded to the biggest questions that you have that are unanswered? Faith comes before sight, but I want to promise you one thing. Sight will come. It'll come in this life or the next. The Apostle Paul says, right now you just see dimly in a mirror, which was a burnished piece of copper that gave a marred reflection. But one day, Paul says, you'll see face to face. So some of you today are suffering horrendously and you don't have any answers, and I'm so sorry for that. But I want to encourage you that you do have faith. And that walk to that pool, it might be a very long walk for you. It might be the walk for the rest of your life where all you have is faith, but not complete sight or healing or help or answers. And I want to encourage you that Jesus said this to Thomas that saw him, that saw Jesus' wrists where the nails went through, where the spear pierced his side. Jesus said to Thomas that you believe because you see, Thomas. But blessed are those who believe and what? Do not see. Faith comes before sight. But I want to make this kingdom promise to you today. Sight will come. It might not come in this life, but it will come. It will come. And my challenge to us today is ask the how question, because you know what? God can use our suffering to help others. God can strengthen us in our suffering. But we've got to keep walking. Some of you may have got the faith, but you know what? You've stopped walking because you're tired. And you know what? You need a brother and sister in Christ to come alongside you and reach out and say, come on. Let's keep walking together. That's why we need Christian community. We can't do faith by ourselves. We need each other. So if you're on the ground today because you have faith but no sight and you don't know how to get back up, just put your hand up. Don't go home saying, I can't do this. Put your hand up. And can we be a church that says, sister, brother, come here. And can I hug you and pray for you and encourage you in the Lord? And would you do the same for me? Amen. Sam's going to come with Dave and going to lead us in a song for our reflection. It's called Give Me Faith. If today you know you have faith in Jesus, but you don't have the sight and it has been really tough, let this song minister to you. If you are struggling in life and you don't know Jesus yet, then can I encourage you to put your hand up and say, Jesus, I want you, I need you, because you are a hope and a power greater than myself, and that's what Jesus is. If you know somebody in your life going through a really difficult time, use this as an opportunity to lift them up to God. But we've got to keep walking with the Lord. So as we hear this song, we'll also come back for an opportunity to pray together as well. Let the words of this song, let it wash over us. May we know the peace of God today. When our so many words in life, when it turns into so many questions, we encourage you in the question, in the pain. All God needs is a mustard seed of faith, Jesus said, a small little seed of faith. And with that faith, God can bring incredible victory where we too can overcome the pain and the suffering, not by our might, not by our strength, but by the Lord and His Spirit in us. You know, this song, Give Me Faith, one of the lyrics read this way, and I think it's a wonderful prayer of faith for us this morning. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. I believe that this is a keep walking prayer. If you have faith this morning, but not yet sight, I encourage you to keep walking, because you will see God moving in this life or the next. If you need to reach out for Jesus, maybe for the first time, I encourage you. Jesus is the power greater than ourselves that we need to overcome the challenge of our life. It's only Jesus. Let's make this verse an opportunity of prayer to reach out for God again. You know, if you're just hanging in there because, you know, the world's a pleasurable, tempting place to be, don't go there. Come back to Jesus. Let us pray. I'm just going to say that line of that verse, and just as a way for you to be able to reach out to God again. If you want to reach out for Jesus, you just need that strength to keep walking with Him. And why don't you cry out to Jesus again? Give me faith to trust what you say. That you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. Lord Jesus, as we have reached out for you, Lord, we pray that you would enable us to keep walking in faith until we have sight. We thank you, Lord, for the sight that we do have because we have faith. And we praise you, Lord, that there are testimonies here of answered prayer. We thank you that you have moved powerfully in our lives. But Father, for those of us that have unanswered prayer, that are in seasons of suffering, that are struggling to keep walking, Lord Jesus, would you come? For we feel at times fragile in our faith. And it's not easy, Jesus, to just keep walking when we don't have complete sight yet. So Jesus, in the struggle of our own faith, would you come and strengthen us? Would you use us this week to touch another person's life that is also going through suffering? May we bring comfort to others with the comfort that we've received from you. Lord Jesus, we want to be used by you. We want to be strengthened by you. But above all, Lord, would you strengthen our ankles so that we can keep walking as your disciples? Jesus, we want to cry out to you in worship. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would rush a river of peace into our souls, that we would go from here with an immense joy because we've gathered in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.